Hi, Kaylee. Welcome to the show. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself and your journey into where you are today?
Yeah, so my name's Kaylee Golden, also known as your favourite girl from Broome. I'm a radio presenter, producer, and DJ. My journey started in Birmingham when I was like 14 years old, just volunteering around different stations around Birmingham, like festival stations and like free radio and student stations. And then I just basically fell in love with radio. I fell in love with connecting with people. So I went on to study it at college, then at university. And then really took part in student radio at university, and then got involved with a lot of community stations in London because I made that big move to go to university in London. And yeah, since then, it's just been getting so much experience and trying new different things. And then now I have a full-time job as an assistant producer at Magic FM. And then I also present on Represent Radio and have a weekly feature on BBC Radio WM. So that's
That's
me.
awesome. That's awesome. And just to say, I'm loving Magic FM at the moment because it's 100% Christmas.
I know.
Playing straight in my car.
I feel so festive working at Magic. Like, you can't not because it's constant Christmas songs.
I'm still hoping for that 200,000 that was being given away, but you know. But yeah, no, that's awesome. And so what was it like, kind of getting into radio? What was that kind of like moment where you're like, this is radio, this is me, this is where I want to be?
I would say. So the first time I ever done radio, I was very, very nervous. And because I was so nervous, I was like, oh my gosh, I don't know whether I could do this. So I would say probably when I actually went to college to study radio at Birmingham Ormiston Academy, because there was a student station there called BT Radio. And I kind of like ran it. I was a studio manager. And it was so sick because I got to try every single aspect of radio and I got to be as creative as I wanted to be. So I think that's when I truly, really fell in love with radio and its entirety and everything that it can do.
That's awesome. And when you first got into radio, was there anything in particular that really kind of shocked you, or was a nice surprise as well? Something that surprised you in a way in which you're like, okay, I didn't know that about radio, but I really kind of wish I had known about that.
I would say from the beginning how many different jobs that there are in radio. I think it's not until the past few years that I've kind of learned that there's so many different jobs in this industry. So even if you think, oh, you don't want to be a producer or you don't want to be a presenter, there's so many different aspects. Like there's music programming, there's people that work on the creative production team for advertising, there's just so many aspects, social media, videography. So I think that was a nice surprise. Like, luckily for me, I want to do the generic one, which is presenting and producing. But I think generally everyone should know more about jobs in radio. Even people that do like videography, like people wouldn't really think to apply at a radio station to do film, but it's literally a thing. It's a massive thing. So yeah, that's what I would say.
Yeah, there's a lot of different mediums, and everyone's kind of using a different outlet nowadays, aren't they? And it's
Yeah.
always nice to see the face behind the radio, I think it's important to connect with people, not just based on their voice, but also the way that they look as well, because there's different stories and journeys and stuff like that. And if you can connect with someone face to face, it's always better, isn't it? So, okay, so in terms of somebody starting out in radio or getting into radio, what's your kind of biggest piece of advice? Let's start there.
My biggest piece of advice, and I know this is so like, oh, everyone says this, but is to keep going. I think the amount of no's and knockbacks that you get in any creative industry can be so disheartening and create a lot of insecurities and really just make you question yourself and whether you're good enough. But the point is that sometimes you're just not ready at that point. Even if you think you are, you may just not be ready, or that path may just not be for you. That radio station may not be for you. So it's kind of like you have to be able to keep going and get past that. Otherwise, there's no point being in this industry. There's literally no point. You could be the biggest person ever, and you still may have a knockback, like at that point in your career as well. So you just have to be able to be like, no, it's cool. That wasn't for me. What's next?
Yeah. And what has been your biggest challenge then in radio? Is that one of them?
I think not so much the knockbacks, but more like my own insecurities in the sense of like from the beginning, I was like, do I want to be a presenter or a producer? And then I was kind of like, I'm going to be a producer, even though I enjoy it, but I just shut off the presenting side because I thought, oh no, I'm not good enough. I don't have that typical presenter voice. I don't have that typical presenter look. So I kind of created that insecurity. And to be honest, I think I created it, but I think representation within the industry had a massive part to play in that as well. So that was my main issue that I was just like, no. And then when I kind of found that confidence, yeah, I've gone for different things, like piloting at different stations, and I've had knockbacks there. But when I look back at it, I weren't meant for that station anyway. If I was doing it, I would have been doing it for the sake of it. So it's kind of like everything does happen for a reason, but you just have to take it, step away from it, look into it, and then be like, okay, no, that actually was not for me. I was just doing that to do it.
100%. I think everybody has a path, and I really believe that, like, you know, you're almost like on this motorway, and like if you kind of detour, you kind of get a bit hurt until you're back on like the right path, and like it wasn't meant for you, but better things always come from it, right?
Yeah, better things always comes, like it always does. What's meant for you will be for you. So
yeah, that's awesome. So let's touch really quickly on representation in the music industry. What are your thoughts, feelings, everything that's been going on this year? Where to start, really?
Okay, so this year, I've really, really been looking into representation in radio with two other girls that I went to university with called Palama and Sarah. And we've done like a research project into diversity in radio, particularly looking at ethnic minorities. And mate, the stats are so upsetting, and I think it's something that we all knew, but when you actually see it on paper, it's like, wow, this is actually really, really bad. But I've been working with different people to try and make change, and change is coming. Like, we're seeing small but great changes happen. Like, BBC have signed up to the Equality and Audio Pact, Bauer Media. When I say Bauer, the amount of work that they have done and are going to continue to do to make radio more diverse in that company is absolutely incredible. And I just want more companies to sign up and do the same thing. And then the research project that we're currently working on is to look at women in radio, and not only just them getting into radio, but the development when they're there and the experiences, and whether they're actually looked after in the sense of just the way people treat women sometimes in radio. So that's a big research project that we're taking on now. There's a survey out there, just search like Radio Silence into Instagram, it's in our bio, and we've linked up with Women in Control for that. So that's a massive project that we're working on at the moment. There's always a podcast after each research episode as well, so you can listen to that, because I think it's important not only to get these statistics, but also to have people actually talk about their experiences and just, let's just say what it is. This is what happened. This is how we're going to change it. So even though the industry is not where we need it to be right now, I can definitely say there is so much development. And I would say in the next 5 years, the industry is going to look completely different to what it looks now.
Yeah, I hope so too. I mean, we have the Pioneer Mentoring Program, which helps obviously women, female artists rebalance those stats and everything. But I think it's about across the board, you know, you have PRS in terms of their membership. I think it was about 18% are female. Just ridiculous. Yeah. And then, you know, you've got 20, it's roughly about 80-20 across the board and for a lot of things, I mean, other than technical jobs. So I wondered if you could kind of give us a bit of a rundown of some like, you know, statistics that you have just kind of straight off the bat, just so you can open our eyes about what's going on in radio.
Okay, yeah. So obviously every single year Ofcom, they release a report about diversity within radio, but I feel personally that people don't really look for it. And it's one of the things that if you don't know about it, you probably won't see it. So what we done, we really pushed that out, made a graphic for that. So this is this year's statistics. So the BBC for ethnic minority groups is 9%, Global is 12%, and Bauer is 6%. Now, obviously, that's gone up from last year's, because last year's Bauer was at 3%, so they've doubled. Global was 8%, so they've gone up by 4%. And the BBC has remained at 9%. So this is the thing, though. We have to kind of look at that and say, okay, the percentages are slowly going up, but we want it to be going up faster. And when we look as well at percentages, something to really note is that some people may go, okay, but in the whole of the UK, there's like 6%. It's either 6% or 3% of Black people in the UK. But when these companies are broadcasting out of London, only 50% of London's white. So it's not actually representative of the city that they're broadcasting from. So that's the most important thing. It's different if we're looking at, okay, building by building. And I think companies should really look at city by city as well and look at it that way. Because if, okay, fair enough. If you're a city that is predominantly white and there's no one there from an ethnic minority that wants to get into radio, okay, that's one thing. But if you're in a city like London, Birmingham, Leicester, Manchester, where there is a lot of ethnic minorities, then you should really be hiring more ethnic minority creatives. Like, that's just what it is. Then also, if I go back on, we looked at how many presenters are on these stations that are POC. The reason why we had to do POC, obviously, it would have been brilliant to break it down and say, okay, this person's black, this person's mixed race, this person's South Asian, this person's. But the only problem was is that we didn't want to make assumptions on people's ethnicity. So we kind of had to just go with it like that. So we really broke it down. And some stations had as little as one or none. So, like Six Music, they only had one present that is a person of color. LBC had one, Radio X had one, Capital FM had one. So, when you really look in, it's really disheartening. Absolute Radio had one. Even Magic, that's where I work, only had one. So, these are our main stations. Talk Radio had zero, Virgin Radio, zero. So, when you look at that, it's just like, wow. And what upsets me even more is that, like, black music is so popular and so played on radio so much. So it's kind of like, okay, you want black music, but you don't want black creatives within your building. So, for example, Pharrell Williams, Happy, that was PPL's most played song of the decade. So it's like, okay, come on now. You are playing black music. So why don't you have black presenters? Why don't you have black producers? Why don't you have black program directors? And then within that, even more, like black music made up a third of the charts this year. So you can't deny that you are playing black music on your station. So again, it just feels like sometimes people want to pick and choose when they want creatives from ethnic minorities. So it'd be like, oh yeah, we'll take your music, but we won't take the rest of you.
It's interesting that you say that, and then and I'm just listening to the stations that you're reeling off, and I know this already, and I know that Magic's part of Global, right? So,
Magic's power.
oh, Magic's Bauer, okay. So, but there's a lot. I mean, in terms of who, what is the company that owns the most? Is it the BBC in terms of stations, or is it Global?
That owns the most stations. The BBC owns the most because they have a lot of local radio. So if you add all of the stations in together, it'll be BBC. But obviously, Global's a massive competitor as well within the radio industries, and so is Bauer.
Yeah, of course. So that's interesting. So you've got three kind of core companies that, or flagship companies within radio that maybe need to own it, right?
Yeah,
I mean, pretty much.
1,000%. And as I said earlier, like the BBC, they're stepping up now. Like, and one thing that I want to note as well is throughout this year, the BBC have made a lot of mistakes on the TV side of things. What people need to also realise is that there's so many, there's different departments. So if things are going wrong on air and people are saying things that they shouldn't be saying on BBC television, that's actually nothing to do with BBC radio. They're two separate things, even though they're all BBC. So that's something to definitely note. So in terms of BBC Radio, there's been some great development there. And then Bauer, as I said, they're doing absolutely incredible. We're still waiting on Global to sign up to the Equality and Audio Pact. So at the moment, we're all just really waiting on Global to make some change.
Yeah, I know that they've brought in like a diversity board as well. So it'll be interesting to see, you're right, like the future of music and the way in which it's, you know, it's developing. But I think there's so many people in music that really need to make the change. It is happening, and you're right, like it is happening, but maybe it's too slow as well.
It's
And also
been too slow.
momentum, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It's been too slow. And when I speak to people throughout the industry, it's been something like a lot of people have said, oh, we know this issue. And a lot of people have kind of known the issue and left it to like directors of companies to make change. Look, they're not going to make change unless they're forced to. Let's be honest. Human beings, sometimes we can be very much like, oh, we'll do something if we have to do it. They're not going to go out of their way to do it, even though obviously they should. So with this, if we all, every single person is responsible for making change, every person, whether you're affected by it or no matter what your job is, every single person can make change. Even if you're literally just starting out as an intern, not being funny, if you see something, speak out, that is something you're doing to make change. All of us can do it together. So that's something that I really, really want to push. And I think the reason why it's took so long in the industry is, again, people just waiting for that person above to make the changes. No, we can all make it, all of us, every single one of us. Even if you are a creative as well in the industry and you have a good job, okay, well, mentor someone that's from a diverse background that may not have the opportunity to know someone in the industry already. If you spot someone on Instagram trying to do their thing, reach out, mentor them, help them get into the industry, bring them in. So there's so many different things that we can all do.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, so let's take it back a little bit to your kind of day-to-day as well, because I think it's really interesting for people to hear what you personally do on a day-to-day over at Magic. So can you run us through, like, if there is a typical day, what that would look like?
Okay, so a typical day, my day starts... So I get up at like 4:30. Is my camera on? Yeah. I get up at like 4:30, car gets me, go into the studio, do research on like what news stories are out, what we can speak about on the show. So get all the preparation together, then go into the studio, set that up, because you have to like take the studio live, make sure all the mics are working, all that kind of thing. So I set the studio all up. So by then we've printed off the running order, we've wrote out the script, the studio set up, and then Harriet and Ronan will come in, have a little chat. It's a good idea to chat to your presenters, wake them up a little bit, especially when you're working a breakfast shift. And then we just go live. We literally go live, do the show. I'll be on social media doing the tweets, again, changing scripts, putting text onto the screen, that kind of thing. So that's how the show works. And then after that, the show finishes and then you're back doing more preparation. So like planning interviews, planning guests, again, preparing for the next day, working on bigger things and like the admin as well, because obviously there's a lot of admin that goes into like even prize winners and that kind of thing. So yeah, that's like my day to day that I will do at Magic. And then from there, from about like 1:30, I'll go from Kaylee the producer to Kaylee the presenter. So then I'll have like interviews, podcast recordings, editing interviews, editing videos, recording radio shows. So it's like, I love it. I feel like I live a double life. I feel like I'm in Montana.
Who doesn't want to be Hannah Montana? There you go. I mean, it's a great, you just got to change your hair every single second. So yeah, no, that's awesome. And in your day-to-day, do you find it's quite intense? You're starting at 4:30, right? So I mean, is that something that people can expect from radio?
Not necessarily. I didn't have the intention to ever start on do a breakfast show. Like, I never had that intention. But what's brilliant about working a breakfast show is that your day starts so much earlier and I feel so much more productive because I can get so much done. Like the average person, by the time I'm starting to finish up, someone's just going on their lunch break. Do you know what I mean? And I've finished up and the rest of the day to do my work. So I don't think you don't have to expect doing that, but because obviously there's so many other shows throughout the day. But if you're someone that wants to do different aspects of radio, I would say work on a breakfast show. It is so much more productive because, as I said, by 1:30 I have the whole rest of my day to do interviews, to do other things like that. Otherwise I won't be able to be doing that till like 5:00 on the night. Do you know what I mean?
100%. So last question for you, if somebody wants to really start their career in radio, I mean, let's take it back a little bit to like, you know, different age groups as well, because I know a lot of people that want to start. I've had artists approach me, say like, I'd really like to do something in radio. How do I start? And they're like, oh, you know, I'm too old, or like, you know, I don't really know where to go to. You know, what is the quickest way that anybody from, if you're young, if you're kind of just come out of school, where do you get the education? Where do you get the knowledge? Where do you get the experience? What are the best places to go to? And then if we do skip a little bit further to anybody who maybe is in this industry, who is a singer, who is an artist that would actually like to take a look at radio, how could they potentially get into that?
Okay, so first I'll start with like, if you're around like the 15, 16 mark, then I would say to study media. Like if this is generally something that you think, I want to do this, then study media at college. I think it's absolutely brilliant. I loved it. Again, you learn radio, you learn film, you learn TV. It's just brilliant and it's a lot of fun as well. And if you're doing an extended diploma, BTEC diploma, then that's enough to get to university. So I have friends that did study media, didn't actually want to go on to do media because they thought, oh, it's too competitive, it's not something I want to do. But they still went to university to study things, other things, like one's nursing, another one's studying to be a primary school teacher. So it's okay. Don't think, oh, if I go to college now and it goes wrong, that's it. It's really not. You can just go do it, I would say. And then if you're outside of London, I would say, yeah, go to university because it's a great way for you to move to London. No, you don't always have to move to London to get into radio, but the way things are at the moment, a lot of companies are just broadcasting from London or Manchester. So I would say that it is a lot easier if you are in London just because there's more opportunities, like there is way more radio. Yeah, so that's something that I would definitely recommend. If you are living in London, then you really don't have to go to university. I'm not going to lie. Like, I loved going to university, but I liked the stuff outside the university rather than the actual studying part. Like, it's sick to have a degree in that, but it's more like the student station, being able to work at community radio in London, that kind of thing. So if you have that on your doorstep, then I feel like you're fine. That's just my personal opinion. So then let's say we go past university, or maybe you don't want to go down the studying route, maybe your parents don't want you to be studying radio, then I would definitely say get experience. And this goes for anyone that's older that wants to get into radio. There's great community stations, hospital radio, there's so many that you can get involved with, and you can learn how to do your own show, or you can learn how to be a producer. Community radio is so brilliant because they're so under-resourced that you have to learn. You can't just go in and sit down and do nothing, because we have to do stuff to get stuff done. We're not the BBC. We're not commercial radio. There's not 10 people working on one thing. There's literally one person working on 10 things. So working community radio is absolutely brilliant. That's where I would say I learned everything that I know. So that's definitely something that I would say. Of course, there's like fast tracks in the sense that like different companies put out internships and stuff. So like the BBC does internships, Bauer does work experience, I think Global do internships as well. But the only thing with that is obviously you're not guaranteed anything after. So don't sit and wait for an intern. Like, don't wait for that because it may not come. So I would just say get straight in there, get stuck in, just do it. And the thing is as well, you can make your own shows from home yourself anyway, if presenting something that you want to do, in the sense that you can literally record voice note off your phone, build a show in like GarageBand and put it on Mixcloud. Like, you can do radio anywhere yourself just to get experience. And that's a great way to like send over to community stations and be like, look, this is what I'm working on. I want to come help you. I want to learn. So that's brilliant. I would say, what else would I say? Advice, networking. Networking is so, so important. Whatever kind of stations you'd like to work at, follow every single person that you know that can work at that station. Follow them on Twitter, Instagram, LinkedIn. And even though you might feel like a bit of a weirdo, trust me, it works. It seriously works. Networking is key.
Agreed. I think that's probably the rhetoric that happens throughout the whole of the music industry. But no, that's awesome. Thank you so much, Kaylee, for coming on the show anyway. And thanks for taking the time to speak to us.
No worries. Thank you so much for having me.